Hey everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
I'm George Affleck.
And we're going to take you deep in municipal politics because we're already in election season, a year out. Lots to talk about there. We got to talk about pipelines and provinces. David Eby battling with Danielle Smith. Where does Mark Carney come into this? And how about the First Nations? And also, of course, the rise in hate rhetoric. Weird things happening south of the border. Yes, we will talk all things Trump on this edition of
Unspun.
My head is
Okay,
spinning just on the intro.
a half-hour intro.
Where do we
Okay.
start? Let's start municipal. You, first of all, George,
Oh,
you're like the amazing Kreskin. You've once again
been a
predicted
spoon. Yes.
zero tax.
I think I predicted it 4 years ago.
I think you did. But
Yeah.
after like the roof is on fire, or like I inherited a leaky roof and now we have to pay to fix it. And it was like everything's wrong. I don't see everything remarkably better. And now it's zero. Please explain.
That's the problem. Well, the explanation is he needs something to help him win the next election, and he's pissed off so many people on center and center right about the tax increases and not being hard at City Hall. So this is finally in year four. He's going to make a commitment to, budget restraint. The thing is that okay, and I. Yeah, so that's in my mind a good thing. First of all, staff aren't going to come to the mayor or the council and say, "Hey, I have great ideas for cuts," because they don't want to be the bad guys internally. So it's up to the politicians to give the agenda, to set the agenda for staff. So the politicians are the bad guys. So that's where we are now. So staff, I'm sure, will have no problem finding lots of room for like cuts. There's especially with AI. If you just think about how. As long as the public, as long as the report is public, staff now can use AI to do all what they need to do to analyze their own reports and prepare, say, what will the questions be from council that I might get, and how do I answer those questions? They can do all that once the documents are public. So the speed at which staff now can prepare themselves for how their reports are actually delivered, whether it's communicating it or just speaking to the questions they'll get. Obviously, councillors can also use AI to dig deep into those reports. So that's one thing. So we finally got a 0% budget here, in which I've been asking for since 2011. The challenge is, and first of all, there's a new general, city manager. There is absolutely no way this guy's put this together in 3 weeks. He started on September 4th. This has obviously been happening for some time. Staff could not pull this together. So the previous city manager would have given, I guarantee it, directive to staff to start working on the cuts, because they would have been given that direction way back in like April, May, to start thinking about how they can't just suddenly decide on where these cuts are going to be. So that this is baked in. It's been happening. This city manager will get all the credit. He gets to be the bad guy. Paul Mockery is gone. And the mayor can say, "Look how strong I am." Now, the problem is doing it in the final year, which is what we talked about 4 years ago. But doing it in the first year and doing the hard stuff in the first year, you then get to spend the next few years doing stuff that makes people happy. Now you've
Cookies,
made, yes,
cookies,
now
cookies.
you're doing something that makes some people happy. But when you look at an election campaign, generally people don't care about budgets. They really don't. It's not a turnkey thing. It's not something that makes people vote for you or
No.
against you. It really doesn't. It's things like affordability or housing or crime and et cetera, et cetera. So and of course, if you piss off 8 to 10,000 staff people, that's a lot of people who potentially vote, who get out there, obviously strike, walkouts, a lot of negativity against it. So he's going to now have to play damage control on the other side that he wouldn't have to have done if he'd done this 4 years ago. So it's totally backwards from a political point of view. And while he thinks it might make it possible for him to win the next election, it certainly opens up the opportunity for somebody on the center left, Pete Fry, for example, who and where does Karim stand on the spectrum, political spectrum? I have no idea. But anybody who can galvanize the center and left to center can now potentially take out Ken Sim, because now, hey, look at this guy. He cut all, 500 staff when times are tough. How dare you? This is terrible. Oh my God, we're losing all this department, that department, all these pair, environmental, yada yada, whatever it is they're going to cut becomes an opportunity for the opposition and whoever's leading that opposition to leverage it and destroy Ken Sim and ABC.
So as you said, like making the unpopular moves now and cutting people and cutting in areas that some are will be furious about internally, on top of already having internal turmoil within the caucus of his party that is now so splintered, park board splintered and losing his like right hand person to becoming independent. Like there's a lot of duct tape that needs to roll around here on the current mayor.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think you have so many things working against him for sure. I mean, multiple candidates for mayor. I do think that there's a lot of them right now. You got Rebecca Bly. You've got Pete Fry saying he might be doing it. You've got, and I would say he probably pulls up at the top for sure, up against everybody else, just because of his profile and he's been in there for 8 years.
And familiarity.
I'm
Sometimes with
familiar.
municipal less municipal elections, people are just like, I recognize that name.
Yeah.
I don't remember being mad at him.
Right. And then he's got
Like
the Fry
that's
name.
sometimes,
I mean, his mom's won 1,000 years of elections.
Yeah, a
So
thousand, thousand.
the legacy can continue with Pete.
Dial that back. She deserves better. No ageism here, George.
No, I just said a
No,
thousand. I didn't say
I'm
how
kidding.
old she
I'm kidding.
was. I say
I'm
she's just
just
been doing it for
joking.
1,000 years.
I'm just joking.
Yes. So it's I think eventually that you'll see on both sides of the political spectrum come to Jesus moment of saying, okay, we're going to lose if we don't get behind somebody. So we'll see how that goes. But for the next, I would say till July, August, it's going to be a shit show.
So, and then there's the controversies that are between some two in particular of the people now running for mayor of Vancouver that is going to. It's going to be like the roller coaster ride of roller coaster rides here. And we got to look at all the municipalities, really. But in Vancouver, engaging the voter is always number one issue, right? Like what, 30% of people voted in Vancouver, like eligible voters. Do you think people will be more motivated in the coming
No.
election just because? Right. So let's
No.
talk a little bit
If
about that and then
anything,
we'll
there'll be
move to
less. If
other
anything, there'll be
municipalities.
less because if it's incumbent, if it's the same guy running. And by the way, if you see my screen moving, Amanda's across me. She's typing very hard, but no problem. But I can see my camera shaking. She's like, oh. Because
She's a very physical typer.
she's painting her office upstairs. I'm at home today,
Okay.
so she's down here typing away. I'll see you next. She says hi.
Hi, hi back.
Hi back from all the listeners and viewers of Unspun.
Our executive producer, Amanda Bates.
Your
Thank you. Thank
executive
you.
producer.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. I think if anything, the numbers will go down because if it's an incumbency, generally that means people are like, meh, it's all right. Let's look. If he's got there, whatever. He'll have a tough time getting his people to show up. That'll be the tough thing.
Okay, so let's look at other municipalities. I mean, obviously, you look over at Port Coquitlam and go check that box, right? Brad West, there you go. Unless he decides to make the
Well,
move to another, who knows when the next provincial election might be. We'll get
we'll
into
get to ED in a
provincial in a
minute.
second, right?
Yeah.
My mind goes, I mean, Richmond's going to be something to watch with Brody not running again. Surrey is always at play, Canada's fastest growing municipality, and the fact that we'll say just straight up, I think Brenda Locke has had a tumultuous time as mayor of Surrey, a little bit quieter these days with the SPS RCMP thing having, moved its course after costing taxpayers like how much? It's wild. It's wild to think that it could just all be forgotten in a year. Like, who knows? Does she run
Well, her
again? Do you
first
think?
budget with the police in it will be this one coming up, so we'll see what that number looks like in the it'll be 400 million, who knows, 300 million probably, not 160, that's for sure.
No. And then we got to think about like is crime down? What do the crime numbers look like? And even when the crime numbers reflect one thing, it's how people feel that matters, right? We see that all the
Yeah,
time, right?
100%. I think that Vancouver's been pushing this whole crime is down, crime is down. I don't know. I just feel like nobody reports anymore. Why bother? Like, if you got your car window smashed, would you bother calling the police? No. So, like, I walk down the street where I live here, and there's smashed windows all the time. There's, drugs all over the place. There's people like just lying in the streets. Do I call anybody? Does anybody call anybody anymore? Does anybody report this anymore? Who knows? Like, I don't think
Do you
so.
see, you live right in downtown Yale Town, right? You're in the heart of the city. Do you feel like we're not talking numbers and data here, but you as a citizen, a taxpayer, a discerning journalist, frankly. When you're looking around, do you feel it getting worse? Do you feel it getting a little bit better? Do you feel it staying the same? Like,
It's the same. It's not no different. I mean, we had the safe injection site move out of the, which was right across from the park.
right.
That took a class action lawsuit to happen.
But did it help?
It has helped a little bit by the park, but there are still people everywhere downtown. And so, if you live in other parts of the city, you may be insulated from this. But if you live in downtown or on the east side or in some pockets around the city, you see quite a lot of sad, terrible things. And of course, the downtown east side being the worst of it. But certainly, Yale Town is by far the second worst area in the city to be in as far as crime and drugs and. It's pretty bad. And then Olympic Village is also pretty bad. You just get out of the basic village anywhere around there. It's pretty rough. Mount Pleasant. It depends where you live, but it's I always say that they've added 100 police officers, right? $100 million to the police budget. I don't think I've ever seen a cop walking the beat in Yale Town ever, and I've been here 25 years. I've never seen a
Wow.
cop walking around or two cops on gravel, sure, but have I ever
Right.
seen anybody walking around, helping? No. They drive up, they pull in, they look, I don't know, and then they drive away. No offense to police, but hey, that's your choice. That's in the 80s they had all these bike police, remember? The bicycle guys?
I do
That was
remember.
great. That
Yeah,
was
it was
great.
great.
And they
Yeah.
were everywhere and you just felt presence. And
Yeah.
that makes you feel safer. And I don't sense that at all. They're just in these fancy $200,000 vehicles driving around, looking, whatever. I'm mostly spending on the downtown east side, or I don't know where they are. And I think if the assumption of adding $100 million to the police budget, I think if we'd add $100 million to engineering and prettied up parts of the downtown so that you would not feel obligated to destroy it like so many people feel, you'd see
Yeah.
less crime in the downtown core. But that's
Right,
not the
that
choice of
broken
this
window,
government. Yeah.
that broken window theory that
100%.
you've educated us on, which I believe wholeheartedly to
Well,
be
it's
true. It's like,
mathematically proven.
right. But a lot of people don't understand that that begets that, right? The more graffiti, the more broken, the more disrepair, the more that will happen. Like it's simple math. And if we could just ease up on the, restrictions of not being able to have a patio here or not being able to, let's close off that street to traffic. It's like, well, that then people can't go in there unless they park their car blocks away or whatever and walk in the pouring rain in the middle of the, dark night. I'm not doing that. Can't even get your Uber down that street. Like there are some things that I just feel are backwards. I'm not in charge. All we can do is try and take the spin out of why things happen and why then they change so much. I will say one positive that I've noted, and one of the reasons why I asked you if you saw any change or stay the same or get worse in Yale Town, is because I had a friend in from out of town, and we went for dim sum over at the Pink Pearl at Hastings and Clark, and she'd been to the city before. But it had been ages. So I've been driving the long way home, the long way there, like, driving through tree-lined streets. And here's the new sort of area. And here's where there's been some building going on and blah, blah, blah. So we drove, down Great Northern Way, down Clark, whatever, to get to the restaurant. And then we drove down Hastings on the way back and then went through around English Bay and blah, blah, blah. But actually driving down Hastings, it looked better to me than it did, a year ago, anyway.
Yeah,
Maybe.
yeah, because that met, well, they started for what when was the election? It was that first year when they started, the previous council started mandated that they had to start cleaning up and moving people out of the tents off the street. I mean, the street was littered with, like, you couldn't actually walk down the sidewalk. But
Yeah,
that
and the
was 3 years
propane
ago.
tanks and the whatever. But it's great. But as much as we like to say, like, where did the money go? What's happening? Who's doing what? I was a bit surprised by, because I haven't been down there for a few months. I mean, I've been out of the country for goodness sake, but I was like, oh, there's still, don't get me wrong,
Yeah, I
there are
think
still lots of people down there in distress
it's
who we need to
perspective.
help. Like, this is not me saying it's fine, but I did say to my friend, like, I used to walk down here with my grandmother to go to Woodward's food floor
That
and hang
woman who
out
used
and look
to
at the
preach on the
Christmas.
corner, that woman that used to preach right in the corner there.
So, but I feel for the, those who need OPS down there, you know, a safe place to use because they're addicted, and you know, there's nowhere to go if you're addicted to get help for, like, there's just those four pillars
Yes, the
again and
four
again
pillars,
and
which is
again.
what the Portugal model, now we call
Exactly. Exactly. Okay,
it.
let's go to provincial because we could talk about that stuff all the time.
Yeah, it's
But to
different.
just suffice to say that there is more to come on the municipal front. And so we'll keep our ear to the ground, and every Thursday we'll check in on the hyper-local stuff as well. Of course, we're going to talk bigger things. Premier D Danielle Smith coming out hard at Premier David Eby. So Alberta versus BC, here we go. She's like, we're going to put $14 million behind this pipeline. And David Eby was like, excuse me? Like, excuse me? So can you explain what Premier Smith actually said? Like, what's the take the spin out of what she did
Yeah,
to the BC
well,
Premier and why he is pissed?
first of all, are we not united as a country here now? Like, can we not get this shit done? Come on. We need to build this pipeline, everybody. I know there's a First Nations process, but certainly, come on, BC government. Don't work against us. Don't work against the country, which is what he's doing. He's talking about the environment and no more oil is going out of reports and all that. I'm like, oh my God, what is it, 2011 again? Get over it. We're in a crisis of a financial crisis. The only thing we have to keep our country afloat is our resources. We need to get them out of here and take, and as a ethical oil country, and a resource country, why not come from here? What are you gonna recommend buying it from Russia, Ebi? Come on, give me a break. So I think though, this money that she set aside, remember that she came out of that meeting with the prime minister and she was all happy, happy, and everybody's like, what the
Yeah.
hell's
Everyone's like,
going
wait.
on? Which he's a liberal. I think they had a chat and he said, you do this, you negotiate with the pipeline that we own. One of the partners is the pipeline that we Canadians own.
Yeah.
And I'll find a way to make sure it happens. And I will support you at the right moment that that happens. And we'll deal with BC. BC is very predictable when it comes to this. But if you live up in the north, take a look at who won up there. It's either NDP or Conservatives, and it's very conservative generally. So you have the First Nations. So I think the locals, the majority of the people up there who actually vote are actually conservatives, which is,
Right.
so what do you, it's a very complicated situation. But I think that as long as there's a process to deal with, whether it's bypassing na certain nations or negotiating whatever it is that they think they need, is it money? Is it, let's ask Ellis Ross, what will get your partners up there? Here's a guy who certainly leveraged the max capacity of what he could do in his nation, for the best purposes, and a huge advocate for that process. Hopefully he can be part of that process. So I just think it's ridiculous. It's selfish on our part as British Columbians, and it's I believe it's Eby's undoing. It's going to be over for him. He's got the union. You've got the union environmental stuff, right? So who are you going to side with, the unions or the, you can't you get a balance out as an NDPer? And right now he's pissing off the unions, and with the unions there's no money to win the next election. So you can keep the environmental people happy, but they don't have the cash like the unions do for you, or the resources, or the teams to actually get you reelected. And they will destroy him, I think, if they don't if we don't see this kind of movement on the resource side. And he's going to destroy the Canadian economy if he doesn't be a team player.
So, why then would he come out and speak so? I've never seen him as lawyerly. Is that the right word? Like he's kicked into his old jobs, of really being so cautious with his words and saying don't take my politeness for weakness. And he seemed really frustrated and simmering anger in his press conference on this. And so you're suggesting that Danielle Smith and Mark Carney are in cahoots or,
Cahoots.
yeah. But David Eby was not given the heads up that this was coming. It was like, let's, right?
Yeah, I'm
But
sure he
that's the
was,
thing.
but
And that's the
whatever.
part that I, because then he, after watching the Eby presser on the subject and hearing, you know, Pierre Poilievre, the conservative, the official opposition, as the official opposition, stood up and did the old, you know, British Columbians all want pipelines, which I don't think is true, but I do think that British Columbians have come around to pipelines, given what's going on in the United States and understanding the elbows up and all you said about resources. I think there are a lot of people that were more environmentally concerned and continue to be environmentally concerned, but also want things to, have protections in place for our coastlines and, understanding it. That's the thing that
Yeah,
doesn't
trains are so much better
bother
for
me.
distributing oil,
But
like from
that's
what
just
I
it.
heard.
It's not, right? Like, and so,
No.
but nobody says that part out loud. We're too busy, like,
Let's look at
fire
Quebec and
across the
what
bow,
happened there. A little
right?
train crash.
No, awful. But so when David Eby was saying, I will do everything to protect British Columbia's interests and our coastline. So, what is it in this that seems to not be in British Columbia's best interest? Like, that's the part
Yes.
that I'm like, what?
Let me see. I like healthcare. Okay. How's that paid for? Oh, through money that we get from taxes, which we get from our. I mean, we're a prosperous country. We have a great GDP, not because of our construction industry. No offense. No, not because of our making of software. It's because of our resources, everybody. Our wood, our oil, our gas. Come on. Are we
Minerals, potash.
minerals? Come on. Like, give your heads a shake. Understand why we are a prosperous country. We don't have to be, we can do this. And one of the arguments is, well, oil demand is going down, and you're like, so we don't need these pipelines. You're like, that's not how it works. It's the demand is there. What you're saying then is, let's just let the evil countries get all the cash and distribute the oil. Because the demand is there, it exists. It just other people are getting the money for it. Right now, we have an
And we
opportunity to
forget that
do.
it used to just go south. We didn't have to go to the coast, right?
Still
Like
does.
that's
Majority of it still does. But
right. But the goal is to move more of it not to the United States,
Of
where
course.
it's refined and then sold back to us. Like,
Yes. So you got both
who's
provinces on both ends of the country saying they don't want pipelines because of the environment.
right. And we all have the Exxon Valdez stuck in our head, and a lot has changed in how oil is shipped, oil and gas and what have you is shipped very differently because lessons were learned from the
True.
disasters. Like, and no one's suggesting that those disasters didn't happen, and should never happen again, and it should be regulated in ways that are safer. But to your point, again, moving this resource or these resources by rail is way more dangerous.
Yeah.
So we need to be on top of that.
I think you'll see this pipeline approved pretty quickly.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with the First Nations. Like there were some very vocal ones after Pierre Poilievre spoke. There was a story about the nations in BC being no, but then how many nations are in BC? And some of them like pipelines. To your point, like Ellis Ross was very instrumental in
In the
creating
LNG.
the map. Like if you have
And
to
it's just a
go
bit more
around.
expensive, to pipe it around and go around circles. I don't know. I mean, I just think that there's more interest and openness to the idea. Prosperity isn't just for us, it's for all of us, and that includes First Nations. And I think you have to understand, it's not just the cash you get from the specific pipeline, it's the country as a whole. And would you rather be the 51st state? Is the question that Mark Carney has to ask those First Nations groups up there. What do you want? What do you do? Would you rather be under Donald Trump? Is that what you want? Because that's potentially, if we cannot afford to be a country anymore, it's what basically is Trump's argument. And so how do we afford to be a country on our own and be independent and have the kind of country we love and that we are generous and we have work to do when it comes to reconciliation? Absolutely.
For
All
sure.
that stuff, especially in this conversation this week. But,
Yes.
what's the alternative, everybody? This guy,
Right.
Trump's not going anywhere, probably for 10 years at this
Don't
rate.
say that. Oh my gosh. Canada's got a AAA credit rating. The United States has a AA now because the government there is shut down. Were you surprised by this? That the 44 Dems wouldn't vote for the big, beautiful bill that would take, healthcare away from 15 million of America's most vulnerable citizens, and putting forward the massive lie that what the Democrats actually wanted was to give free healthcare to illegal aliens, which is not a thing, by the way. It's not a thing. Like,
It's just spin.
It's wild to see the spin. Oh my gosh.
Not surprised. Obviously, Democrats, made a gamble on how this process would work. And but I, what I find so confusing and so weird in it, and this just shows you how effective Trump can be, and we'll see over the next however long this happens, is how they managed to blame the Democrats for this. It's like
I know. It's messaging though,
you
right?
control all levels of government. It's
Yeah.
you're the one who shut it down. If you can't get your own party to vote, then that's on you, man.
And
And yet that doesn't seem to be what they're saying.
there are people who I
Like,
think quite astutely have been pointing out that the US government has already been largely shut down, right? With the DOGE and the number of employees that have been fired and the programs that have been cut. And like there's a lot of when we talk about government shutdowns in the US, the last time, by the way, was in 2019 when Donald Trump
yeah,
was president.
30 days, 31 days.
And the fact remains that the most vulnerable people in the US and abroad, because the US has been very, generous and philanthropic on a global scale historically in taking care of people across the world, which is why they were a world leader. All of those things have already cut and gone. I worry about the security in the country and the rise in divisiveness and hate and just some of
Right.
the,
And it's just like the
the
veterans aren't getting their checks.
awful.
Seniors won't be getting their checks.
No, right?
And so it's devastating. But it's the political world they built there. I think that I do know that I don't know how it works down there as far as how much they save. Obviously, they still have to write the checks when they come back. But I know that when there's strikes in local government here, it's a significant savings. Like
Right.
just because you're not, there's a whole bunch of other things that aren't happening. So you're saving, lots of money every day by just shutting down.
We didn't even
So,
talk about the BCGEU. Geez, speaking of strikes,
oh
we'll bring it
yeah,
back local.
I went to my local
And the
liquor store,
post
and the shelves
office.
are empty. The shelves are
Yeah.
empty.
Oh, the
Yeah.
shelves are bare. I didn't realize that Molson is independent of BCGEU distribution sites, so you'll still be able to get your Molson Canadian.
Not if they can't distribute it though, because they won't let them out
They
of the
go
distribution.
direct.
Oh, do they? To the
They, yeah,
liquor
they
stores.
to the restaurants and stuff.
Oh, to the restaurants. Yeah, I
Yeah,
think the
yeah.
restaurants, and they'll be able to get it from the wineries. It'll be the
And we
heart
were
out of all
talking about
that.
the restaurants getting so, like, just beaten up again. They're just, I feel so
Yeah.
bad. I feel so bad for the restaurants. Can we just end on one solemn note? I wouldn't say sad because a life very well lived. Somebody I had the honor of interviewing was Dr. Jane Goodall. She
Oh,
passed
yes.
away this week at the age of 91, doing what she, and speaking of environmental concerns and worries and nature and animals. And boy, Dr. Jane Goodall, man, what
I know
a.
she's always been there. She's a big part of, certainly if you're our age group, that
Yeah.
always been there, right? The
Yeah.
first of
What?
that sort of generation that we were like, they were like movie star environmental science
Yeah.
people.
Because she studied the chimpanzees. She was the first to go into that place where she was accepted by animals. It was really cool. So if you don't know the story behind Dr. Jane Goodall, do yourself a favor and swim around a little bit in some of her early works and why she has been doing what she's doing. I just wanted to mention this on here because I'm a huge fan. And it was the last interview I did offsite. I did it at the hotel, the Sylvia Hotel. The last interview I did before getting laid off at Breakfast Television. So,
Wow, interesting.
yeah.
Do
And
you
I
have it?
just,
Do you have it?
I do. Yeah.
You use it?
Probably not. But I have a picture of me inter sitting with her and interviewing her. So she was
Interesting.
lovely. And it was a very dark room because she had very sensitive eyes. She had beautiful light green eyes. And she said, "I'm sorry, I can't manage the light for too long because it hurts my eyes." I said,
Yeah.
"Listen, I will sit in the dark with you." She was amazing. She was gentle,
That's
gentle soul, and
cool.
she was very kind. Yeah. So rest well, Dr. Jane Goodall, and hard pivot to continue watching Unspun Podcast.
Yes.
Like and subscribe. And you can follow us on social media. You can
Et
find
cetera,
us
et
on.
cetera.
Yeah.
Yes, George underscore Affleck and Joey Vance.
Correct, sir.
Find
Peace
us,
out.
follow us, share
Follow
us.
us.
Yada, yada, yada.
Thursdays. Tell your friends. We're here every week.
Bye.
Hey, Julie.
See ya.